We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari American, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. My name is Andrew Laird, Senior Soccer Editor of RotoWire. Got a special podcast today. There is some Premier League action this weekend. We're going to ignore it because the slates are very awkward. We've got, I think there's a 7:30 a.m. Eastern and a 12:30 p.m. for the DraftKings two-game slates. There's some showdown slates. It's a mess of a weekend, so we're going to ignore it. And it's actually a different we this week. Joining me is somebody who I consider to be a titan of the daily fantasy soccer industry. He has a long career here. Only some of which actually has to do with soccer, and it turned out his real job was actually not really associated with soccer. But joining me on the podcast today is the one and only Matt Birnbach. Matt, welcome.
Hey, what's going on? By the way, I got a little nervous when you said when you started off introing it as the soccer podcast and about the EPL, and I was like, holy crap, I haven't even looked at anything, and I quickly pulled up Flash Scores, and then as you were talking, I was like, oh, it's a two-game slate. This is fine.
Yeah, I have no intention of talking about the matches this week. I've written about them. We've got cheat sheets on the site. If anyone really wants to play, all this normal stuff is there, but this podcast is very different than the normal one. So, Matt, have you ever listened to this podcast?
Yeah, a few times back when Jordan was on. I'm one of the few who enjoys his voice.
Oh, how about that? That's nice. Yeah. I'm sure he loves to hear that. I actually teased this in our subscriber chat that we were going to have a special guest this week, and I didn't want to give anything away. So I was like, you can ask any question. A few random ones came up. Nothing was all that exciting because I refused to actually say who it was. But a lot of people know you as the guy who was like the soccer guy at DraftKings, but that actually wasn't your job. And I think there are a lot of people who don't know that. Did you consider yourself the soccer guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it because nobody else likes soccer?
I'll take you back a little.
Yeah, please.
At So before DraftKings, I was a place called Draft Street. Before then, I was doing a lot of soccer writing in the city, in New York City, for a bunch of different places. Got a job at Draft Street as I was playing on the site, not professional or anything, just for fun. And kind of, you know, I helped bring over, I just thought there was a lot of, or there's an ability to have, make more money by having soccer. And I got, pretty much said no the first, I don't know, 10 months. And then out of nowhere, they decided they were going to have World Cup. So that was, 2012, I guess, 2010, 2012. I don't even know what year. 12. And out of nowhere, we had World Cup. And then literally like a few weeks later, DraftKings bought Draft Street. So I was over at DraftKings. I started on the product operations team there for 6 months. I mean, those guys are so much smarter than me and all went to, you know, all these schools that for analytics and mathematics. And I went to Indiana for sports communication. I was not right for that team. You know, I was able to BS for a while. But I think they realized I was a better talker than anything. So they threw me on the VIP team. But, you know, part of it was I was one of the few kind of, you know, I think everyone, there was a I'd say there was a tolerance for soccer early on. But I actually thought it could be, you know, a profitable sport, especially with, you know, a bunch of games Saturday morning at 10 o'clock right before college football. It kind of like really an easy way to get into things, games being what, 105 minutes from start to finish, if you count halftime. Like, that's so simple. You know, people like watching baseball and some of these games are 4 hours. I just thought there was such low hanging fruit there. And I was one of the few who like fully and truly understood soccer. So I kind of just like stole it for my own and more or less made myself be the guy for soccer, even though I was fully on the VIP team. So it was kind of like, as long as I was doing my normal job, I was cool, like leading these, you know, soccer calls and helping size contests and this and that. You know, I think the thing is with soccer, is that, you know, with the other sports, NBA, NFL, MLB, I guess NHL, and then even like NASCAR, the big, you know, Daytona, you know, with all these TV deals they had and all these teams they had partnerships with, they were kind of willing to take risks. And obviously, I don't think they ever wanted to lose money on things, but that would be okay, right? Those would be like marketing expenses. While with soccer, it's never been that way. You know, if a contest was a 50K and it didn't fill, and I don't mean rake, if it didn't fill, it was going to shrink next week. And, you know, that's just the way it was. You know, it wouldn't make sense. It didn't make sense to a lot of us. Certainly, I know it didn't make sense to you and all your readers and everyone on Twitter. I'd get hit up all the time and, you know, it can only fight so much. And, you know, there are plenty of people who agreed with me that, you know, if it makes a dollar, just keep it the same next week. There's no reason to shrink it. If it fills, grow it. If it loses money, like I've always been like, if it loses even a dollar, shrink it. Like there's no reason, you know, to face this losing battle. But unfortunately, not enough people were on that side. And, you know, it grew a little bit. You know, there were people pushing for 100K contests for every weekend to start off like the, I don't remember what year this was, but, oh, I guess what was last year was the World Cup, right? So we were trying to push 100K.
Last year was women's World Cup.
Oh, so when was the last World Cup? 2016?
18.
I guess?
18.
Oh, 2018. Yeah. God, math is terrible. And
we didn't go, so you know, that's why we don't
right,
remember.
Right, it's funny, that's why
they still played like, it. Can you believe that?
I'm shocked. Yeah. I am shocked, but it's funny, that's why, it's literally why I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But like there was a whole ramp for where people would play World Cup and then that would lead into 100K EPL to start off the year, and that would go into Champions League, and kind of more or less we would reassess on October 1st. But after running all of these massive contests through the World Cup, through first month EPL, and then through the first, I guess, two groups stage games of Champions League, and it got nixed. You know, there certainly we felt like there was an appetite for there. We felt like, you know, this would be the one chance where if things get crushed, you know, you can kind of shrink that sport forever and, you know, make it so that it's this nothing sport. And it got nixed, and it's kind of been stuck in this, I don't even know what contests are right now, probably what, 50K? It's just stuck in the 30K made. 30K? Well, I guess it depends on the buy-in, right? So
they're usually much closer to 30 than they are 50.
Right.
50 and then is every astonishing, and it's like 45K to first.
Yeah, they really haven't grown. I mean, they haven't grown in the past few years. I mean, I remember the World Cup. I think it was the final France-Croatia game filled, I think, like 5 or 6 hours early.
Yeah, very early.
Which is, look, that's great, but it's also like that means we messed up with the sizing, right? Like, you want things to fill. I always thought it was like you want things to start dropping in those last 10, 15 minutes. Obviously, if you have a million contests, that's not great.
Yeah.
But in general, the headliners filling then, certainly when I was on the product operations team, that's kind of when we wanted the headliners to start falling, those 15, 20 minutes out. So things filling 5 or 6 hours early may as well just not fill. It's like the complete, you know, opposite end of that spectrum. And it sucks because I thought, you know, there certainly was a push for soccer, and, you know, that push is gone. It's never going to be anything great at this point. You know, hopefully for the Euros, they'll have, you know, cool stuff, but even so, it's not going to be like an everyday thing that there's awesome games, and it's just going to turn into, you know, more or less it's like tennis. Although I guess tennis with the majors, those are big ones, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's like a sad thing, but it's also the biggest out there of all the DFS companies. So, you know, you can hate on them, but it's also like, at least they're putting at least they're putting some effort into it, as opposed to others that are, they may as well not even have it. You know, I'm sure a lot of people are pretty frosted. Like XFL came in and is gigantic.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched XFL. I liked it, but still, it makes you shake your head a little bit.
Well, that's one of us that watched it.
Yeah.
What was the thought of when they started expanding leagues? Because obviously it was just Premier League at the beginning. I can't remember if MLS was the next one to be introduced. It was probably Champions League. But like,
I think it was Champions League.
At this point, I mean, we've got English Championship, obviously all the major ones in Europe. Was there any thought that, like, this is going to sound weird, but like, was there any thought of like, maybe this is too much? Like, you're expand, like the amount of teams and the number of players that we have to know now is too big. And so that's actually going to make people not want to play, as opposed to just focusing on Premier League once a week, like it's the NFL.
I think a lot of the expansion was happening as DraftKings was getting legal in different countries. So a lot of, so when they got legal in the UK, you know, there are people who are diehard fans of championship, like their mm-hmm. teams in championship. So they thought by having those, like, that would help. It wasn't like they thought people in America would care. It'd be a little more like, you know, there are these games, these random games on like a Friday afternoon, people are going to pay attention to, and maybe we can build it up that way. You know, MLS, they had to deal with the MLS at that point. It's funny. Do you call it the MLS or
no,
MLS?
No, nobody should call it the MLS. I was just about to call you out on it.
I know, like, the Major League Soccer doesn't make sense. But I also, let's see, do I say the NFL? I might say the NFL, though.
Yeah, you
I don't
definitely
know.
Do.
I feel like...
People definitely say the NFL.
Yeah, I'm okay with saying the MLS.
But,
I don't know.
Well, the reason why is because I think you would say, like, the league, like the National Football League, but you wouldn't soccer.
Right. Right.
Such a European elitist when it comes to soccer.
Yeah, back to the MLS. You know, they had a deal with them, and I think originally, like, it was really, they were going to go pretty hard with MLS.
I remember that,
I feel like they ran a 10K once, which at this point, that's a, yeah, absolutely.
I'll have to ask Skyler, because he definitely has screenshots from the opening
weekend. Of course, I feel like Money Machine probably finished first through ninth in that contest, paid his kids' tuition.
That's right, all 14 of them.
But yeah, you know, the problem with MLS was they, like, a Saturday slate, they have a game at 2, a game at 2:30, a game at 3:30, a game at 5, 5:15. Like, it's like they're not thinking at all about DFS, and not that DFS should have been the forefront, but also, you know, a little bit, you know, people are going to be watching these games, have four games at like 7 o'clock one night. It's crazy. Like, there's never any day where all the games are at once, or a bunch are at once. And I think that certainly hindered it. But yeah, so they had to deal with MLS, so they were going to offer all these MLS games. They had an official, like, free roll each week of the official MLS free roll. You know, they were, what do they have right now? They have the French league. They don't have German, because Germany will not allow fantasy sports, so that's why. They have Italy. They have Netherlands, I think,
oh, yeah.
and that
Absolutely.
And again, that was one because they became legal there. They thought they would be running maybe every now and then like a showdown game. Or I guess showdown wasn't invented, I don't think, at that point. But they would run a two-game slate solely just to get the people in the Netherlands excited about stuff.
Right.
Same with the Mexican soccer also. So I think – I don't know if there was concern that there was too much. I think they just wanted to kind of please everyone. They also – I don't know if they were going to get the Australian A-League at one point. They were going to get the Chinese Super League. Because of – that's kind of where we started, like, telling people no.
Yeah.
The games were at, like, random, like, 4 a.m. And it was like, well, there's, 20 people in Australia that might want to play. It's like, this is not – the juice is not worth the squeeze here. And
yep.
They were going to run, like, Australian A-League with the Chinese Super League, like, these, like, super sets. And it was just like – these are going to bring in maybe like $80 or $90, and for the amount of like manpower it's going to take to get this to work, it just doesn't make sense. So that's kind of where things died. I don't think they've added many leagues since. I guess they added Women's World Cup, but that's like a one-time thing.
Well, they do a bunch of the domestic cups now.
Oh, true. Yeah. I mean, now that Showdown is a thing, they can do anything, and I think things work out. It's, the 8-game FA Cup slate where there's like 3 big teams and the rest are like League One teams and Ebbsfleet United. Like, those ones are gross. But, if it's 2:45 on a Wednesday, I've always said Champions League was the thing they really should have pushed, not EPL, because Champions League is 2:45 on a Tuesday or Wednesday in the afternoon on the East Coast when everyone is just upset at their job and wanting to go home. And they're like, I can't believe it's Wednesday. And just like it pays before NBA or baseball, whatever sport was going on at that point. That's the one I really thought they should have pushed. And I still think, they missed an opportunity there solely because all the games are at the same time. It's a quick 105-minute sweat. There would be days then that they would get hundreds of thousands of like head-to-head matchups from a lot of the big players. The appetite was there. I just, they were cautious about things. And I also can't blame them for that. People don't want to lose money on soccer, right? They're okay losing it on NFL.
Right. Yeah.
So I get it. And also it's frustrating that where it ended up being and, where it probably ends up staying.
I think there's a decent fight between those who think DFS tennis is the best sweat and Champions League because I think those are it. But the Champions League one, I totally agree with you that like the timing is just perfect for the US market and I agree. The benefit of soccer also is that once they started expanding to all of these is like it's you can find a window that doesn't go over college football or college basketball or the NFL. Like there's always going to be a window where there's soccer, and it seems like they're trying to at this point get a slate in for all of them. But I don't know. As somebody who like obviously watches the lobby plenty, like because it's so spread out, it just seems like the total amount of money that's going into soccer is just minuscule just because each contest, like when you go on a Friday, let me try to pull it up here, like a Friday Liga MX slate. And obviously Liga MX is like a small, it's the most popular league in America, which is, people kind of ignore that, but like the biggest, the biggest contest they offer tonight is $300. Yeah. And it's like, and people play, and obviously they don't think that there are enough people to play to make it like significantly bigger. But yeah. I just feel like if anybody casually plays soccer and you go in, you're like, oh, maybe I'll play tonight. What do they have? And it's like, oh, Liga MX. Sure. Why not?
Right.
And when you see that, not that you can win 300, but that 300 is the prize pool. Like, I feel like that's just such a turnoff.
Yeah, I mean, I also think like the issue, and I get it. The issue with Mexican Soccer League is just finding info was so hard.
Yeah.
When they first, I mean, look, if you know where to go, and if you speak Spanish, that helps too. But finding anything out there on Spanish, not Spanish soccer, on Mexican soccer is so hard that killed that sport within, I don't know, probably 3 months of them launching it. And next thing you know, like you said, there's $300 contests at that point, and where they're not even willing, like, if the 300 fills, it won't be reposted. It'll just, that's it.
Right.
It sucks, but like, they're not gonna, No one's going to want to report to their boss on why a Mexican soccer league lost like 2K when, you know, you can easily break down, you know, oh, this NFL lost 2K, but we have so many actives and this and that. Like, there's just, it's not worth dying on that hill.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you, and maybe this isn't something that you know, but like, soccer seems like a sport that, like, I know a lot of people who play soccer on DraftKings and don't play anything else. Like, are there more people, like, is the percentage of people who play, among the people who play soccer, like, do you think, what percentage do you think only play soccer?
Oh, it's super low. I also think at this point, it's really hard to find someone who's only playing soccer.
Okay.
Just because I think even if someone's in there, like, I'm only gonna play soccer. And then you're looking in the lobby and you see some NBA, I guess there's no NBA right now, but you see some contest is given out, you know, six figures to first, people are always going to throw something in
there.
Yeah,
good point.
You know, I think people might have the mind, maybe they won't play baseball or NBA or whatever every night. But like, you know, if you play a Tuesday Champions League and say you win $100, there's a great chance you're going to play that sport that night. Cause you're like, I'm flush. Like, let's see what can happen. I would say NFL or NBA probably has the highest percentage of people only playing that sport. Again, right. I think it's very slim for people, you know, to really only play one sport. But if you're going to say the majority of one sport, I still think it's probably those two. I just think because the prize pools, if the prize pools were bigger, maybe there'd be people only playing soccer. But because they are what they are, I think people kind of jump around.
So speaking of prize pool, what was the closest we came to a Millie Maker for soccer?
It wasn't even discussed. it would have been awesome, but it's like, it was never discussed.
Can you think of what the biggest contest was that they offered? I can't even think of it off the top of my head.
How big was the opening World Cup last year? Like 100?
It was a showdown is the problem. The first match was a showdown.
I don't even know what the biggest soccer contest they ever ran was. 150 maybe? Okay, I mean, right. I think that's probably the biggest.
Not including King of the Pitch, which I think is still 150 anyway.
I don't recall there ever being the discussions of, I think maybe the biggest ever discussed was like 200, and then enough people were just a little bit gun shy to make it like 150. Mm-hmm. I don't recall ever sitting in a meeting where, I mean, even I wouldn't have put, I mean, I wasn't going to stick my neck out there for that. it's just, you know, you're just asking for it at that point.
What about a live final?
I think the issue is so many of the bigger players are in England. So like, and then if you want to go have a live final in England, which is cool, the money alone to get people from America to England is just like, that's, we're all like the prize pool, like the travel package is going to be so high.
Right.
We looked into it. But like, you know, renting out a bar, or even it was just like, say renting out like, two suites at one of the games, maybe at like the 12:30 game. It just got too expensive. It just was no great way of doing it. I mean, and then it was like, do we want to just do like a sports bar in some, I don't know, say like in Atlanta, and then everyone goes to the United game that night. Like, maybe that's cool. But it just never gained enough traction. There were certainly some meetings and some, you know, we had some pricing on some things, but just money never worked. And that's the problem. Just, mm-hmm. you know, do you go to a local sports bar in America, or do you try to make it this cool experience in Europe? But then, you know, the travel packages and stuff just are way too much to begin with. And that would make them even more.
Does it seem like soccer is the only sport that really has that problem? That you have like too many, not too many, but like you have a big separation geographically of the players?
Yeah, I think, 100%. I mean, there are certainly some British dudes and I guess girls that are playing all the other sports, but because of the time difference, it's harder for them.
I'm amazed when I talk to people in England who play like the NBA.
Yeah, it's crazy. But certainly, you know, when I was at live events there, every now and then there'd be someone from England or something out there. But, you know, it's completely different than soccer. There's a lot of people out there that play. And the other sports, there's just like a sprinkling of people that play, you know, a bunch of lineups, you know, I'm sure a bunch of people play like one or two, but they kind of set it and forget it. Mm-hmm. It's hard with the time difference. It's like NBA, the injury reporting is garbage. So it's certainly hard to follow.
Hmm. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So you think we've already seen peak DFS soccer? Like it's in the rearview mirror?
I mean, I guess Euros could be cool this summer. And then it could lead into like EPL. I mean, I hope that's the case. Obviously, you know, it's also one of those things where when America is playing, you know, prize pools gets jacked up. When England plays, they're up. Like, there are a couple teams that they'll try to jack up the prize pools, but it would just be nice for, yeah, I'm just going to say, I don't think Euros will be any bigger than anything else has been in the past. But
I would assume not.
It'd be cool if I was wrong, because I'll be able to play at some point this summer, and I'll be happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe I'm just not putting enough credit into it, but like I just don't see it being bigger than World Cup 2 years ago. But I don't know. How much bigger did you think the contest would have been for the World Cup had the U.S. qualified?
I think a lot bigger, yeah. Actually. I don't know like what percentage wise, but I know things were cut, not necessarily the opening day ones, but just across the board, they just cut sizes just because U.S. wasn't in it. And it didn't even necessarily mean the days U.S. was playing. It was just that, you know, when the U.S. is in it, people are watching other games up until U.S. gets knocked out. So you're getting those, I guess, 12 days of people focused on World Cup, as opposed to now, or I guess last time, you still had some focus, but a lot of people were just like, America's not in it, I don't care. Or I guess the general public was that way.
Right.
So it definitely, yeah, it definitely killed to not be in that.
For all of us.
Yeah.
Selfish question now. How much, if any, kind of consideration do you guys, or did you have for people who did content for DraftKings, not necessarily like for literally for DraftKings, but like writing stuff or doing podcasts or anything.
In covering, terms of like getting salaries up early and things.
Kind of like that, or just what feedback, whether you took any feedback of people who complained about it or do content, like is there any consideration of, like I'm thinking specifically of soccer, there's obviously significantly more content created by a bunch of sites for football and basketball and baseball, whereas soccer obviously just doesn't have as many people. I mean, the contests aren't as big, so they're not going to be as many people who want to make content about it. But like, was there any thought of like trying to figure out a way to increase content for the smaller sports? Like you can do MMA or esports, tennis, soccer, of like if there's more content out there, then more people might play. Like, is that a thought at all for people there?
I think it was when they had the England office open. They had a guy,
yep, Jamie Hinks,
named Jamie Hinks, mm-hmm. who I think wrote every single day soccer an article for DKFC or DK Playbook. And I think that was going to be like a bit of a push for it. And then, you know, that office was no more. You know, I think it kind of all just goes into one where I think they obviously would love to have a lot of content out, but because of also, you know, they get salary, let's say salaries are done, you know, NFL salaries done a week in advance. Soccer, they're done, I don't know, 3 days in advance. And now you're going to be like, well, why aren't they posted then? I agree. but I mean, I, you know, myself and others would always push for it, but also, you know, then it starts taking up space in the lobby. Like to get salaries in is, you know, it's not just like one button and salaries go in. They have, you know, a team double check it and not say that double check that they're right. Just double check that there's no like bugs in the sheet.
Yep.
And you know, we were always pushing for salaries to go in, not necessarily post contest, but like post the ability to, so people can see the numbers. And I, you know, our big thing was just like guys like you or Roto Grinders or whoever, you know, you'd have more time to get that stuff out there, more time for people to read it, more time for people to like enter the contests and put in their dummies or put in their core teams or whatever it is. And, you know, I do think, you know, that was the one thing, you know, we would butt heads on. But I do think soccer had more promos or more, I want to say, like, you know, we had soccer had flatter payment contests, and obviously, like, it was only once in a while and they filled, but they would never come back. But, like, you never really saw that in other sports. Soccer had the most, like, you guys were the loudest, probably the fewest, but the loudest. And I think they certainly listened to the feedback. I don't say the most there, but I think the most change happened because it was so small and such like a easier group to please than a sport like NBA. I don't think you see those kinds of changes as often. So on the content side, I think they wish, obviously, like more content, meaning more people joining this and that. There's just not enough emphasis on soccer for people to really push for it. I think there was a window for that to be a thing, and just it, you know, flamed out, and now it's just not going to be a thing.
Do you think betting on soccer will be more fun than playing DFS soccer?
Yes. I think – I also think like –
I say will be because I'm not allowed to bet there yet. Connecticut doesn't
right,
have it.
Right. I think the betting on soccer is going to be a lot different than, say, it was 5 years ago. There's so many – you know, player props are like such a thing now. You know, you can bet player X to score one goal, two goals, three goals, a headed goal. You can a goal and assist, a red card, like whatever it is. And these are things that are so simple to see with your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have no idea. I mean, I know what an assisted shot is at this point in fantasy, but like that's a weird one. And I don't know what I still don't know what a dribble is, like things that you see with your eyes. And you know, if you're watching a game, you're like, I just need my guy to score a goal. I think things like that are going to – I mean, soccer is already one of the biggest bet sports in the world, and I think a lot of people enjoy the – I think they're called – I don't know if they're called brackets or they're called – what are they called? But where you're betting, like, the next 15 minutes what's going to happen. So you're kind of making these games even smaller.
Mm-hmm.
I do think people are going to find that more fun. I think the Euros will probably be a lot of fun for that. And, I mean, DFS is a lot of fun. I just think, like, it's not as fun when games are spread out. Like, just say the Euros, you'll have a game at 12, 2, and 4. Like, that's awesome, but, like, having all the games at 12 or just being able to bet on the one game at 12 is great. And I think that's also where the success of showdowns come from, where people with that tiny attention span just focusing on just this one game, I don't have to worry about anything else, and kind of, you know, hope I run into one here.
Did you think showdown soccer would work?
Yes. 100%. It was hard. It's hard to build a soccer team. Back when there were 11 roster spots, like what's it? It's 8 roster spots
yeah.
now, right?
Yep.
I mean, I'm, you know, a huge soccer guy. I could obviously fill out a team easily, but I know how hard, like, you know, you're picking 3 guys you've heard of, and then you're picking the center back on like Southampton or the defensive mid on Everton. Now you're playing guys that are, you're literally hoping they get a random assist, right? Mm-hmm. Or a random goal. I don't think that's that fun for the everyday casual. So I think chopping it down to 8 worked. And then I think the showdown, now it's like, all right, well, everyone's going to pick, you know, Firmino and Salah. Now I just got a luck box Jordan Henderson scoring. It's a lot easier. Obviously, it's a lot of fun. I always thought it would work. Mark Nirenberg, he's one of the founders of Draft Street, who came up with Showdown, is just beyond smart. So he, you know, that's why Showdown is so awesome in every sport, just because he's so great.
So really,
he left DraftKings before me.
Oh, okay. So the drop from 11A was purely just because it was going to be easier for casual people to play.
Yeah, that's literally was. We did a couple, I think we had a couple like email polls out there or surveys, I guess. And I think the overwhelming amount of people were just like, we want more people to play. Like some of like the diehards be like, look, I will like 11 better, but if 8 means more people will play, like I am all for 8. So I think that's really what it is. They just wanted to dumb it down some. And I think that's why contests are, I don't want to say as big as they are right now, but I'd say they were smaller if we were still at 11, or if they were still at 11, I should say.
I mean, there are still people who reminisce about how great the 11-man rosters were.
Sure.
But I agree. Like, there's no way the lobbies would be as big as they are. And I say that when there are, like, 7 people in the lobby. the head-to-head lobbies these days. But
yeah, I mean, if you're making one team, like 11 is fun. That's great. If you're making 50 teams, it's a lot harder. Also, if you've never watched soccer before, like I said, like you don't want four guys you've never heard of. At least now with the eight, it's probably two guys. And maybe if you pick one of them as a goalie, and a goalie is a coin flip anyway, now it's really just one guy you've never heard of. So I think it's just, I mean, you know, I know people want to cut the goalie. I think I like the goalie. I like that stupid variance. I don't think there's that much skill behind it, but I do find it fun. I don't think he's ever going to get cut, though. I just think I don't think people can wrap their head around a sport where they remove a complete, like a player like that. It's hard to even like make a comparison. I don't even know, like maybe
they remove
the
kicker.
NFL. Yeah, but
no, same thing.
I guess you're right. Yeah, but
although I guess the goalies can use their hands.
Don't think it. I don't know, especially because you can give the goalie the win, so you can kind of project a little bit. You know, a kicker I think is a little bit more fluky, although I'm sure some touts will say they have a optimizer to show what kicker is great. But I think, you know, with Vegas lines and things like that, you can kind of project who's going to win, or maybe you can kind of, if your goalie's going up against Man City, he's probably going to get at least five or six chances to make a save. You know, whether, you know, those go in or not is another question, but I think there are certainly, you can project a little what goalies are going to do. Obviously, you can't project like a 12 save shutout from a plus 500 money line team, but you know, these things happen. It's kind of like in baseball when a pitcher who stinks strikes out 10 in six innings and his team wins 1-0 when they were big underdogs. Like these things happen. I think people in soccer just get more upset about it when they, I think this happens all the time in all sports.
I do think it's a little funny with soccer because I mean, obviously I'm much more involved in it than a lot of other people, but like soccer projections themselves are very difficult because just like one thing happens, like if an early goal is scored by the away team, then the home team is going to push so much more than they were going to. But, and because of that, like we fundamentally know that soccer is a very variant sport. And yet when the variance happens, people are just furious. And it's rather like, and I'm one of them, like I'm not taking myself out of the fact that I get goalkeeper wrong like 9 times out of 10, but it's just like fundamentally, like we're in the middle of basketball season and like the NBA is a very projectable sport. And so people are getting used to seeing projections and using the optimizers, whereas soccer is just totally out there. And yet we'll complain every week about goalkeeper.
Definitely.
Do you see any changes, like do you anticipate any changes to DFS that maybe other people aren't going to see, or do you think it's just going to stay like this and kind of stop growing as much because more people are
I think it just stays. I mean, people are always going to want the lottery ticket that's like the millionaire maker. I think that's, you know, even if you, it's, I mean, payout wise it's an awful contest, but you know, how many contests can you win $1 million? Like it's pretty cool. You know, it's crappy if you finish seventh and you don't have that team anywhere else. But like, you know, there are not that many places in the world for $20 that you can win $1 million with some like skill behind it.
Or sometimes none.
Sure. Absolutely. I am not an analyst. I am none of that. So I could be very wrong here, but I think the future is sportsbook. I think DFS, you know, I think it still grows, but I don't think the trajectory it was on, like it's even close to what it had been.
Sure. But I mean, we have to think that the legalization of sports betting probably slowed that growth.
Yes, definitely. I think it's slowing down. I think it's still growing. It's certainly not going to, I don't think it's going to take another leap. I think we're probably at that leap already.
Yeah.
It would be cool if it kept growing. I just hard to imagine with sportsbook, you know, getting legal in all these states and, you know, being able to player prop betting is going to be so big, which kind of is like fantasy sports to begin with. I think, you know, that starts to really take its toll on DFS. I could be wrong though.
So those of us who follow you on Twitter have, come to learn that you're basically a sports betting, a soccer and tennis tout. Is that what's in your future?
I wouldn't say I'm a tout. I just like, you know what it is? I just like to write what I think and then kind of just, I don't know. I guess it's kind of what a tout is, where I like to write what I think. And then when it's right, I like to retweet myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
you go, you're like three quarters of the way there.
Yeah, it's just not behind a paywall.
Right.
You know, everyone, yeah. I know it's funny though. Like, you know, back when, if I was betting and say, you know, say I had $100 on a game and I lost, I would feel worse if somebody followed me and put $5 on the game. I'd feel worse that like, fuck, I cost this guy $5. It's a terrible feeling when you're wrong, but when you're right, you're just like, oh, how dare none of you follow me? You know. I don't know. It's just one of those things where I feel like, and probably a lot of people are like this, where they look back at games of any sport and they're just like, oh, that was so easy. I could have picked those three games. Like, it makes sense that Team X won by 30 or whatever sport it is. I don't know. It's just fun being right, and when you're wrong, just being self-deprecating, I think, is a good thing too. So, I don't know. It's just something to do and keep track of. And who knows? Maybe it gets you your own, tout TV show someday on some obscure touting website or there something. I don't know.
I think that's one of the. I look at it much more from a content standpoint. That like, sports betting content's really hard because like,
yeah,
you know, as soon as you write something, lines can change, and then the bet that you liked, you didn't like as much. It does seem that like everyone that I, all of the people that I follow who appear to be intelligent about sports betting, it seems like the overarching agreement is in that like you need to have a model and you just follow your model. But like most people aren't going to do that. Like,
no.
But who, so it's like, do I follow this other model or do I like, do you have a model?
No, models in my head. Even back when I did, I guess I didn't mention this before, I at one point did soccer salaries. Just again, wasn't my full job. It was just like, oh, I have an hour each week to kill. I'll literally just do salaries, and every number was in my head. And that's kind of like the way I view things now. I'd rather blame myself. It's so dumb. Like, this is such a fish way of talking, but. I'd rather just blame myself, at least when it comes to like soccer and tennis and some of the smaller sports, than, you know, what a spreadsheet says. Oh, first of all, I am not smart enough to make my own spreadsheet. So that, you know, if I was, maybe my thinking would be different. But like, if you handed me, I don't know, if you had this great spreadsheet, to go off of, and like, it just said, I don't know, it said Man City versus Man United, is going under 100%. I'd be like, and in my head, I'm like, man, this game is 4-1 written all over it. Like, I see it as 4-1. I can sleep better at night knowing that I'm the idiot who, you know, I played 4-1 than if I played the spreadsheet. And if it ended 4-1, I would just be catatonic. So that's just the way I am. Like, it's a really dumb way of thinking. I fully get it. But I'd rather go down with my own ship than anything else.
Okay. That makes sense.
But again, if I was smart enough to have my own awesome spreadsheet, I think my thinking would be different. Maybe.
Or maybe it's just what's
in your
head on
the spreadsheet.
Or maybe the
spreadsheet would go towards my thinking. Yeah, right. One or the other.
Or the spreadsheet is just a total reflection of your head. You've been right this whole time. It just happened to me.
I need like someone to invent something where, you know, they put a USB in my ear and it downloads what I'm thinking into Excel form. And then people are like, wow, he's not as big a fish as he sounds. But until then, I am.
That's like 10% of a way to a Black Mirror episode, but
I'm gonna write this down. It actually could be cool. I don't know. I don't know who I got to talk to, or what senator I have to write to try to get this technology going. But it'd be cool to be able to download your brain into a soccer spreadsheet.
I'll let you be the guy who starts that.
Yeah, I guess it's $109.99 is fair per spreadsheet.
Yeah, that seems a little cheap actually.
Yeah,
that's a month, right? Or was that per spreadsheet?
We'll start at a month.
Okay. All right. The last question I had was actually one from our Discord, which I think was a little bit facetious, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Are cash games dead?
In soccer?
In DFS?
Oh. I don't know. I haven't been involved for, I guess, 7 or 8 months now. So mm-hmm. I'm a little bit dated. Feels like they might be. I know they lowered rake on a bunch of stuff, though, right? Like, that's a good thing.
On the bigger right? ones. It's like on the 100, whatever. The
well, okay. I guess it depends who you're talking to. Like, is Cash Games dead? Like, on the lower scale, like, I'm going to say yes, but I don't have much backing behind that. I feel like once they lowered it some, the rake, at least for the expensive ones, people came back.
Mm-hmm.
But I have nothing. I have no data to go off of, just purely, you know, using my head here. Again, if you want to download that, it's $109.99. I don't know. I don't have a great answer for that, so I won't even entertain it with one. I would say they're not dead, but they could be dead.
Okay. Actually, I had another one just popped in my head. You are obviously very familiar with the DraftKings scoring system for soccer. And yeah. I believe I saw on Twitter recently that you have been dabbling in FanDuel's soccer product. Do you think like significantly different scoring systems stop people from playing on both sites? Or do like most people not play on multiple sites? Or like I have this thing that like, and like Yahoo's different as well. And like the significant differences in scoring systems across like DFS and even season long, like makes it very difficult for people to like play in more than one place. And was there like ever a thought of maybe we should make our scoring system closer to even like the Premier League official game that so many people play? Like was the idea of setting up the scoring system, let's just create our own because it's our game and this is how we think it should go? Or was there any thought of like maybe more people will play if we just kind of built a daily version of what they're already playing?
I think, yeah. So I've played a couple of the games on FanDuel for soccer. I have absolutely no idea. I don't get their scoring system. Maybe it's just because I've been so immersed in DraftKings for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe because they use like, they have like clearances and I don't know, like headed balls and things that, I don't know, that I just haven't been able to catch on to yet, to where, like, you know, if when I can play on DraftKings again. And so what it is, for people who don't know, when you leave at least DraftKings and FanDuel, I don't know what it is for other companies. I can't play on FanDuel for 6 months. I can't play on DraftKings for 12. And I think it's vice versa if you're coming from FanDuel. So I'm allowed to play on FanDuel now. I can't play on DraftKings for, I guess, another 4 or 5 months. If I was able to, though, I would only play on DraftKings. Maybe it's just because I understand that salary, or that salary, that scoring system. I don't know. I think the one thing, I think one of the companies tried doing this for a while, and it actually is on the salary side. I think it's Fantasy Draft, and I feel bad if it's not, and I'm just calling them out. But one of the companies used to take DraftKings NFL salaries. So DraftKings would put out the salaries on like Sunday afternoon, would take them, upload them, change the salary, like, you know, multiply out everyone's salary by just a whatever number.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would repost their salaries the same as DraftKings, just with a different number. So it'd be in the same order, same everything. And I feel like the thinking behind that, besides being lazy, and I guess thinking that, you know, the salaries of DraftKings were great, where people could then come to Fantasy Draft and be like, it's the same, you know, numbers here. It should be easy to make a team. So I think in that regard, at least on the salary side, like they were doing something right. On the scoring, I mean, I'm sure you're right with the scoring thing. I think FanDuel's NBA, I feel like that's similar to maybe the NBA.com game. I know recently they did something similar. I think Yahoo, FanDuel, and NBA, and now this is probably like 18 months old, maybe a year old, all have similar scoring or something. And I think that's for
like
a reason.
The NBA did like their own fantasy point.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you're right with like trying to, at least in terms of soccer, like utilizing the English Premier League, the fantasy league game, fantasy Premier League game. I think that can only help, right? I don't think it only becomes more confusing to learn new scoring systems. Now, for the most part, you know, FanDuel baseball and DraftKings baseball, those are pretty similar. Obviously, there's one pitcher versus two pitchers, but in general, you know, you're looking for home runs and strikeouts and, right, and a win. You know, having, there's no like, you know, Draft Street used to have, if your guy grounds into a double play, you would lose a point. that was the only way to lose a point offensively. And just things like that. So, like, it's not like FanDuel has anything random where, like, if your guy grounds into a 5-4-3 double play, you're losing 3 points. Things that, like, you wouldn't even be able to comprehend. Soccer is a completely different game. I think it's more confusing on FanDuel, but I also think they're also utilizing more stats. I don't know which is better. And that's also another thing, like, DraftKings. Soccer has not many, like, great stats where you're watching a game and you can just see it happen. That's why corner kicks was a thing, because you could, A, you know what a corner kick is for the most part. Of course, now there's going to be people complaining about, like, well, is it a corner kick when you, like, just tap it to the
short
guy
corner,
and he, like, dribbled? Right. I feel like that's a corner kick. Like, it's just whoever takes that first kick, that should be a corner kick.
Mm-hmm.
It was a corner. So, yeah, I think soccer just has so little stats that you can watch a game and know what that is. Like, nobody knows what a cross is. I still don't really know. Back when I would be on the scoring, we would have to email whoever the provider was and be like, this is, they would say, like, that is a cross. And we'd have another video we'd send in that's the same video. And they would just be like, that is not a cross. And there's no rhyme or reason why. And it was super frustrating.
I love when people used to send you videos of, like, this cross wasn't counted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it's like in MLS, they have, oh, look, I did it right there. In MLS, they have assisted, you know, they have the hockey assist.
Hockey assist, yeah.
And in no other sport, oh, I guess, and then there's like Flash Score will have, if you hit the goalpost and then someone else taps in the rebound, the guy who took the shot off the goalpost gets the assist. And, like, weird things like that. And I have no idea what's right and what's not. But it always would be fun, like, hey, this website I've never heard of before, take a look at this video. This guy, whatever, like, his foot just touched it. He should get the assist. And I'm like, I don't have a camera to, like, zoom in enough to see this. Also, like, I wasn't, you know, DraftKings doesn't, or FanDuel, none of these companies keep score. And that's
right.
A good thing. They just pay a provider. So if you want to complain to anyone, like, complain to, you know, Opta or Stats or Sports Radar, whoever is doing things, you know, DraftKings, all these companies, you know, aren't keeping score. And the last thing they want is any of these things to be issues anyway. You know, if any of the videos I got, I always sent them into Opta, and I think at one point it was Stats.
Yep.
And then we would just wait on their response, and, you know, whatever it is, like, that was it. And a lot of times we were hoping, you know, the guy who wrote in, it was right. Because then you don't want to be like, yeah, sorry, like, they said no, it wasn't.
No,
and then
right.
you have all 8 people on Twitter adding me on an uproar.
I think fundamentally the DraftKings scoring system, it feels like it's made to focus on the stats that you can see. But the cross is really a difficult one. Like, it's not a cross if you're in the box, which means there's, like, obviously a 3-inch barrier where, like, this is a cross, but if you move up 3 inches, that's not a cross.
Yep.
Or if you're too far back, then it's a long ball and not a cross. And so it's like, fundamentally, you look at these stats like, oh, a cross. Yeah, it's just a pass from the wing.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, at some point you're not on the wing, or some point you're, like, too far away. So it's almost like they tried to get the stats that we know, which I think FanDuel does, a little bit, like, I think that's why they do clearances. Like, we've talked about that, like, a clearance. So on FanDuel, like, because you want clearances, you end up taking center backs from terrible teams because all they'll be doing is knocking the ball out. And I've had people tell me, like, that's such a stupid, like, that you're not doing anything. You're just, like, kicking the ball somewhere else. And, like, that's what we're getting fantasy points for. And so I don't think there's, like, a perfect scoring system, but it's like, it's just tough that, like, we have that they're so drastically different that, like, there are guys that you would play on FanDuel that you would just never play on DraftKings or never play on Yahoo. And so I don't know, like, I know people who play, like, plenty of volume on both sites. And for the hour that you get from, when lineups come out to lock, like, I can't fathom playing that much volume with that such different scoring systems. But they do it. So,
yeah, I mean, at least for the most part with soccer, you can project 8 or 9 of the starters, and very rarely is, you know, obviously Man City has, like, 39 different strikers, so they're a little t- tough to sometimes do. But I think for the most part, even though you have that rough hour, you probably, if you were to make, a bunch of teams, I don't think it's as big a disaster as like NBA or something might be.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I think I'm out of questions.
Oh.
Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about? Is there some cup match that you want to tout right now?
It's Friday. No, man, it's Friday. So we got,
we're back.
It's league games. We're back. Yeah, it's gross. It's those midweek cup games. I mean, they're fun. Nobody plays defense. And it's like all the young guys play that don't normally play. So, they're like hungry to like impress.
Mm-hmm.
What games do we even have today?
We got Wolves Leicester coming up.
I'm more interested in Dortmund, Frankfurt. Dortmund's so fun to watch. Like, if anyone out there needs a team to watch, like, watch Borussia Dortmund in Germany. They're so fun. They score like 5 goals a game. They have this kid, Erling Haaland, that just doesn't stop scoring goals, and he's like 19. They're fun. They're like, people always complain about like, oh, soccer solo scoring this and that. I mean, if there's just a couple teams you just only watch, you will certainly enjoy yourself. And Dortmund, I feel like, is one of them. They also seem to not play great defense, and that's kind of how I used to choose like whatever. I didn't have an NBA team growing up, even though I was from South Florida. I would just, whatever team would put up like 120 points and give up like 113, that's who I wanted to root for. I just, it was always fun that I like no defense. That's probably very telling about who I am as a person, but I'm a no defense person, just up and down, Big 12 football style. Like, I like that stuff.
So you like high scoring sports and you're a soccer nut.
Yeah, no, yeah, but soccer, yeah, but also like, yeah, I got nothing. I don't have anything.
Fair enough.
For like why I am that way. I just, after the 06 World Cup, during the 06 World Cup, I played soccer growing up. I wanted to have a team. 06 World Cup came and Tim Cahill was just bananas for Australia, and Everton had an American goalie and Tim Howard, and I adopted them. Or I guess it's funny, if you're an Everton fan, you say Everton adopted you. So oh. Everton adopted me. Yeah, it's real bunch of sickos.
all the way to Boca.
Yeah, crazy. I used to go to an English pub to watch games with my buddy Jesse, who now does play-by-play for the Padres. And the two of us like just bought in fully. And it's funny, I've like tried to buy into like other teams. Try to get an NBA team and this and that, and I can't. Like, I've tried, like, oh, I'm going to be I'm from Florida, let me be a Heat fan, and just, I can't. Like, and at one point I was, like, living and dying with Everton. I guess, I'm not any – I don't, like, live and die with them just because they've been horrendous, but I'm sure they'll – if they keep on this track where they're doing well and next thing you know they're close to, like, being in Europa or, I don't know, maybe Champions League, I'll probably fully buy in again and they'll break my heart. So I don't even know how I got started on this tangent. I think we got started at Borussia Dortmund and I ended up with me being heartbroken. So that's about right.
Everton. Oh, well.
Yeah.
All right. Where can people find you on Twitter? Is it at Matt Birnbach?
Yeah.
Of course they know. They've been bitching at you for years. Of course.
Yeah. If you don't know, now you know. That's what you say, right?
There you go.
Yeah. You can find me there. Can't really find me. I mean, I have a Facebook profile, but I don't go on there. So feel free to hit me up there. I won't respond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find that people still want to blame you for stuff. Or maybe it's just me.
Every now and then people will say something and part of me is like, do I just ignore? And I was like, I'm not the person that ignores anything.
I was just about to say that, yeah.
I'll just be like, hey, I'm not there anymore. Hit up DK assist. So,
these are legitimate complaints.
Yeah, no, I get like, anything. People want to complain about anything, but I'll just be like, hit up DK assist. Like, I'm not there. I'd love to ignore you, but I'm just not that person. Mm-hmm. That I can't ignore anything. Like, if somebody emails me, I respond within the hour. It's a problem.
Do you have like any like numbered emails on your?
No, yeah. I can't live that way. I mean, even if there's spam or trash or something that needs to be clean, I have to get it. The second I see it, I can't like sleep at night. If I have a missed call, I need to like erase that. I feel like, is that the norm, or do people like, when I see someone who has like 15,000 emails, I start shaking.
I can't, it blows me away. That, and I'm actually like a cell phone battery nut. that yeah. like anything under like 60% may as well be dying in two right. minutes.
Well, I mean, I have a Mophie, so I have the battery on that already. Mm-hmm. And then like I got to be at about like 85% right now. And for whatever reason, I have it plugged in when I'm not even using it. I won't plan on using it for a while. But I mean, yeah, like God forbid it gets to 60. And then now I'm thinking in my head, well, I got to turn on the Mophie. And then what happens if the Mophie's gone? And I don't know what happens if I'm, you know, driving in my car and I get a flat tire and I only have 40% left. Who's going to call me? It's a fear to lose. I also always carry a portable charger with me too if I'm like going out, just like a fear of being disconnected from the world is a real, it's a fear and an absolute problem, and my wife doesn't care for that.
Do I remember correctly? I'm trying to actually pull it up now. Did you at one point have in your Twitter profile that you were always on your phone?
Yeah, I think it actually said married to my phone.
Oh, okay.
And then I had a talk with my wife, and we removed that one because she was just like, I was trying to be more like self-deprecating than anything. And she was like, no, but it's true. And I was like, yeah, I don't, you know, it annoys her the most. So I get it. Mm-hmm. It used to be, you know, back when we were allowed to play on the sites, you know, while at DraftKings, like I was at one point, we were allowed to play on FanDuel and vice versa. And the rule in our house would be from 7 to like 9:30, I was not to be on my phone, actually checking scores. Like I could check for a second, but like really not like going through my phone. But at 9:30, if my teams were like doing well, I could be on my phone as much as I want, like a addicted person. So I get it though, because it's funny if my wife is, you know, if we're watching something and she's on her phone on Instagram, whatever, and I start talking to her and she doesn't respond, like then it like clicks in my head, like, oh, this must be what's going
on. This is it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't think she's checking her FanDuel teams?
No. Although she played in the past, but she, I mean, I would just make her tiers, and she would just pick from there. So, she never won anything though.
I was gonna say I feel like I'm gonna walk you down into a scandal, so maybe we'll cut that.
No,
cut that off.
No, she. I mean, this is like 5 years ago already. When and she would only play in my name, so it's not like she had her own. So we're all cool there. There's nothing there.
Is that cool?
What? That her playing on my name?
Yeah.
Of course it is.
No, I think that's not allowed.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think so. Two people on one account?
What's wrong with that? I don't know. We're all in the same house.
I don't set the rules, man.
You just break them.
Yeah. it wasn't drafting. It was FanDuel who was convinced I was breaking rules. Laws,
oh,
actually.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Wow, you almost went to jail.
I did.
No, that was scary for everyone.
I was like writing notes to my wife about like what to do, like to clear out the Cayman accounts and stuff like that.
It's funny because like what it is you have these like interns and you have, I guess they're not interns, but like they're just people for football season. And a lot of these people don't even read your emails in. They just have a form letter for everything.
Sure.
And it takes, because they get so much volume, especially if like, you know, maybe on the day you wrote in, they didn't have that much volume, but on a day where like say the site breaks or anything else, it is so much volume. It's hard to comprehend, that they just have all these form letters. And what happens is it probably takes 6 or 7 of your emails, which is so frustrating. But in general, I think the form emails get the job done to like 98% of the people to begin with.
Sure.
To where then finally they're like, oh wait, this person is actually, you know, not asking me about how to edit my lineups or something like that. Something simple. You know, we used to at Draft Street, anyone who wrote in when the site was broken, the first thing we would always tell them, no matter what it was, I can't remember my password, I can't remember this, or I can't, like the site's not working, I can't upload, we'd just say, clear your cookies. Every single time, it'd be the first thing we'd tell them to do. And like 99% of the time, we'd get a response with, oh my God, that worked, thank you so much. And we would have no idea why it worked or anything else.
Yeah, but exactly.
Like, that was always the first thing. And then like, if they wrote back in, we would be like, okay, tell me about what's going on. Because we would just get so many emails, especially on like an NFL Sunday, where the easiest way to clean out the inbox is just to shoot these off at 100 miles an hour and hope you just, you know, you get a bunch of people who like you helped out. And then, you know, obviously the people writing back in are a little bit angrier, but it's a much smaller group of people to get to.
Sure, sure, sure.
Customer support people are heroes. They are. Oh my God, man! Yeah. Like, as someone who, you know, on the VIP side, I didn't, you know, I'd get things escalated to me, but I would watch firsthand, especially like, what was it, like a Pelicans game years ago that got rained out, or like,
yeah,
it was a leak.
Rain out.
Oh my God, the people on, and I'm sure FanDuel guys are the same way. I just don't know any of them, but the people on DraftKings just working till like 4 or 5 in the morning, just like, and just getting screamed at from people. It's just funny. You get emails in just like, you know, I need my refund now. And some, and you know, the DraftKings in this case would say like, oh yeah, well, you're going to get your refund. We just more or less have to tally everything up. We got to see what the damage is in the morning. And you know, everyone's going to get paid at the same point. And it's like 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. and people are still writing in like, I need my refund right now this second. And just, you know, you only have so many people on. And when you're refreshing the inbox for our customer support and it goes from like 100 emails to like 2,400 in 20 seconds, it's very scary. Wow. Oh, man, those guys.
They're heroes.
Those guys are there. I mean, customer support in general, I feel like anywhere, they do so much dirty work. But yeah, customer support people, if you're listening, I love you.
Cool. Yeah. So on that note, I think that's good. I've, don't want to bother you anymore, but like I said, like you,
it has been a,
I think you underappreciate how big of an impact you had for DFS soccer for a while, whether it's just like letting people complain to you or when you actually got things done, like it was, it's all very appreciative. So thank you for all of that. And thank you for coming on the podcast.
Yeah. I hope we'll do it again back when there's a normal EPL slate, and then people be like, wow, this asshole sucks at touting.
Yeah, he really doesn't know anything. Did he even work at DraftKings this whole time?
No. Yeah, I'll tell everyone about Bolton Wanderers and Wigan Athletic.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. At least give us some sports betting touts by then.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one. All right. Thank you, Matt.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.